This is the Digital Story Podcast number 508, December 1st, 2015. Today's theme is the top 5 nimble cameras of 2015. I'm Derek Story. What a great year in photography it's been. I think aside from the terrific new cameras, which I'm going to talk about, by the way, in the next segment, I'm most excited by LED lighting and especially these new bi-color lights. These things are terrific. I've talked about them in earlier shows, but essentially what they allow you to do is adjust the color temperature from 3200K to 5600K by just twisting a knob. So this whole idea of having an environment that had, let's say, really warm lighting, you know, 3200, 3400, K, somewhere around there, and then trying to balance that lighting with the light that you're putting on your portrait subject. This happens a lot in office buildings and things like that. That all has become so much easier because now with these new LED lights, all you have to do is match the light on your subject with the ambient light, and then it's an easy fix in post-production. You just make one change and boom, everything just falls into place. So I think for me, again, aside from the cameras, which I just love, and you're going to find that out here in a moment, the big thing in 2015 has been LED lighting. I think it's going to get even more interesting next year. And you know what? Gosh knows what else we're going to run into. Now, it's funny, the one thing that I have not mentioned, and I haven't talked about at all on the podcast, are drones. And drones have been touted as the big thing for the holiday season for 2015. In other words, if you're not in the drones, then, you know, you're just missing the boat. And I've actually had friends say to me, do you think, you know, you should get into drones? Do you think you should start talking about it? You know, here's the thing. Here's my answer to that and to things like that. My whole premise for doing this show and for doing the Digital Story Nimble Photographer, all that kind of stuff, is to be authentic. And if I'm not excited about something, if something doesn't really light me up, then, you know, beyond a news item, I mean, I'll cover things as news items, but in terms of really getting behind it and really passionately putting my energy into it, I have to believe it, and I have to be into it. And the fact of the matter is that I'm just not into drones. It reminds me of scuba diving in the sense that, you know, I worked for an association, National Association of Underwater Instructors. I worked for them for a few years. I did the topside photography in their magazine and stuff, but I never did much underwater photography. And the reason being is because I didn't like all the extra gear. Photography to me is already pretty gear heavy. So then having all this other gear, plus, you know, stuff that you really had to pay attention to or you could die, it just wasn't that appealing to me. And of course, I love snorkeling, but that's because it's nimble, it's easy, it's light. So I feel a little bit that way about drone photography. I just don't need a whole another thing to manage, you know, the flying device itself, on top of my photography and everything else I do. So other podcasts, I'm sure they'll be talking about drone photography. It was the big thing for 2015. It's going to just fly into the future in 2016, all that. And I encourage you to listen to those if you're interested in drone photography, because I'm probably not going to cover it much more next year than I am this year. It's just not authentic for me. I just don't have a passion for it. LED lighting, cameras, I guess the more terrestrial activity, count me in on that. The top 5 nimble cameras of 2015. I have 5 fantastic cameras here. Now, they're nimble cameras, right? So I'm not going to get into the big new Canon or any of that. These are cameras that I consider having a high nimblosity rating, and All five of them are terrific. I'd love to own all five of them. Of course, that's not very feasible. And they're in no particular order here. I mean, I started with one because it's one of my favorite cameras right now that I use. But in general, this list is in no particular orders. All five are fantastic. Okay, let's start with the first one. The Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II. This camera came out in early 2015, and I just love it. I mean, it is truly an improvement on the first model. I love the shooting experience with it, the way the dials are positioned, the way it feels in my hand, the way the shutter sounds, just all the way around. It is just a top-notch camera. It takes great pictures, obviously. It has controls for everything that I need. It does a good job with HD movies if I need to shoot that. And I just have it set up so the lever switches from still mode to movie mode. I don't know. I just really like this camera. Now, I do use it as my, you know, my biggest of my Micro Four Thirds camera. I do have a grip on it. This is a camera that I think is well worth the money. And, you know, right now it's been on sale for some time, I think for like $899. I think it's a steal at that price. Fujifilm X-T10. Revolving around its 16.3 megapixel APS-C sensor, and that's a X-Trans sensor. You know, it's capable of just about everything its big brother is, the X-T1, but it's in a smaller package, a really handsome package, and it costs less money. I think Fujifilm just really, you know, knocked it out of the park with this camera. Has things like, you know, 8 frames per second continuous shooting, has a 1080p full HD at 60 frames per second. You know, the ISO range goes from 100 to 51,200. It's got all the cool controls, the dials that, you know, Fujifilm cameras have. It's more affordable in the sense that you can get it for under $1,000. This is just a cool camera. And if you like Fujifilm cameras or if you have Fujifilm lenses already, I just can't see not getting this camera because right now, in all honesty, I think it's the coolest of the bunch that they make. The Sony Cybershot DSC RX100 Mark IV. Wow, I mean, you know, there's a lot of cameras to pick from the Sony camp. But I chose this one because it's the one that still blows my mind the most in the sense that they got so much technology and so much capability in such a small package. I mean, this is a compact camera in the truest sense. It has a 20 megapixel, 1-inch sensor. Back illuminated CMOS sensor, so I mean state-of-the-art Sony technology in, you know, the capturing part of it. It does 4K video. It has slow motion movie, what they call high frame rate, HFR, up to 960 frames per second. Oh my gosh. And if that wasn't enough, they put a Zeiss f1.8 to 2.8 various sonar lens. It's the equivalent of a 24 to 70 millimeter on here. And they squeeze an electronic viewfinder in there. So this is just a killer camera. It's premium all the way around. It's not cheap. It's going to cost you $900 and some odd, depending on where you get it. But, you know, talk about a nimble camera that really just has an immense amount of capability in a very small package. The Cybershot RX100 Mark IV is definitely that camera. Number 4 on our list. This is the newest of the bunch, I believe. This is the Canon PowerShot G5X. And I'll tell you, I really like this camera also. In part, I must confess, is because of the way it looks in addition to its capabilities. It just has this cool little mini tank look. And to some degree, I think it looks a little bit like the Fujifilm X-T10 in that it's got that chunky sort of look, and I think it's very handsome. But inside, It has a 1-inch sensor that's 20 megapixels, and it has the DIGIC 6 image processor powering that image pipeline. It does ISO up to 12,800. They did get an electronic viewfinder in there, which Canon is sometimes a little lax about, but they got one in here, and it has the little hump on top even. And they have a fast f1.8 to 2.8 zoom lens. And I just think all the way around, Canon nailed it on this camera. I've been waiting for them to sort of bring it all together on one of these high-end compacts. And I think this one's it. Now, right now, it's selling for, well, the list price is $799. I've been seeing it for $749. It's too new to really get a good price break on it. If you don't like the Sony version of compact cameras, and of course, on all these cameras, you know, there's a lot of personal things, right? You know, the menu system and you know, how it feels in the hands and where the dials and knobs are, all that kind of stuff. So even though the RX100 Mark IV is this amazing camera, it's a couple hundred dollars more, and it might not be your thing in terms of how it's set up. For a couple hundred dollars less, you can still get a fantastic 1-inch sensor, 20 megapixel camera that has a whole different vibe, a whole different look and feel. So I love the Canon PowerShot G5X. I'm probably not going to be able to buy it because it's, I have cameras that fit that need already. But if I didn't, it would definitely be on my short list as it is right here for a top choice camera. And then finally, our fifth entry in my top five nimble cameras for 2015 is the Panasonic Lumix GX8. Now this camera, you know, Panasonic does some neat things, and I like their cameras a lot. I've been having a lot of fun with the GM5, which is a 2014 camera. It'd probably be on this list if it weren't. But the GX8 is a bigger camera. The thing that I really appreciate about it is, you know, the in-body stabilization that works in combination with optically stabilized lenses. Generally speaking, Panasonic goes with optically stabilized lenses. They have a lot of lenses in their lineup that are IS, but this camera has in-body stabilization, and then it works with optically stabilized lenses to really give you this amazing image stabilization. So I think that's cool. And of course, I also like it because, at least in theory, I can use my Olympus lenses on there that are not stabilized. You know, this is a Micro Four Thirds body. So I love that part of it. It also shoots 4K video. And, you know, they did the breakthrough on this with the image sensor. It's a Micro Four Thirds sensor, but it's a 20 megapixel Micro Four Thirds sensor. So, you know, that they finally broke that 16 megapixel ceiling with this body. All the way around, it's got the nice retro look to it. It feels good in the hands, a little bit larger than a couple of the other cameras that we've talked about. A terrific body. I mean, it's just really well done on this, and it definitely deserves to be on the top five list. So that's it. Those are the five cameras that came out this year that I think, you know, have the best nimbleosity rating. I just love all five of them. The OMD EM5 Mark II, Fujifilm X-T10, Sony RX100 Mark IV, Canon PowerShot G5X, and the Panasonic Lumix GX8. Wow, you can send any one of those cameras to me and I would be very happy. In the news. Well, a nice announcement came out today, and I'm recording this on Monday, of course. You're hopefully listening to it on Tuesday or Wednesday. But on Monday, Phase 1 announces Capture One Pro 9. Capture One Pro 9. They've been working on this for a while. I know a lot about it because I was on the beta program, which I'm very lucky to be a part of that. I'm learning more and more about Capture One Pro all the time and, you know, really thinking very highly of its capability. But anyway, so Capture One Pro 9 is now available. It's the latest iteration of the tethering and image editing software. SODP Review says it's also management software. So it's not just editing, it's not just tethering. In fact, that's a misconception that I think a lot of people have about Capture One, not realizing that you can do the catalog model in the sense that it's like an Aperture library where everything is contained within the container, or it can do more of the referenced approach for management, much in the same way that Lightroom does or Aperture gives you the option to. So, I mean, it is a database-driven photo management application as much as it is an editing and tethering software. So it offers a completely updated contrast engine. These guys really love image editing and really getting the controls to do amazing things. And they've been working on the contrast engine. They've added additional brushes, color editor masks. There's a whole new keyword tool. Again, photo management, right? I mean, they're working on the keywording aspect of this all the time, and they have a whole new tool for keywording, all sorts of other features. Capture One Pro is available now for Mac and Windows for $299 for brand new customers. If you have Capture Pro 7 or 8, you can upgrade for $99. Anyone that purchased Capture One Pro 8 after October 30th, 2015 will be exempt from the upgrade fee. As an aside, this is probably my leading contender for 2016 to replace Aperture. And the way that I'm looking at it right now, the way that I'm leaning is that I would use Capture One Pro 9 as my main photo management system. And then I would use Photos for OS 10 to augment it in the sense that it captures everything from my iPhone and my iPad and, you know, all that kind of stuff. As you've probably heard me say before, I'm liking Photos for OS 10 a lot more to augment my workflow because of its connectivity and because the tools are actually pretty darn good. But it's still not there for me to use it as my only photo management software. So I'm not making a final commitment yet, but I'm leaning for 2016 to have Capture One Pro 9 be my go-to, and then Photos for OS 10 to augment it. And there'll be more on that in the coming weeks because, you know what? It's getting to decision time, isn't it? Clean out the cruft. This is a brand new thing. It's a new piece of software that I'm smitten with, to tell you the truth. It's called Clean My Mac 3. And it's by the folks at MacPaw. I was contacted by them. They're based in Ukraine. And I had a Skype conversation with them and everything. And the person that I'm working with, her name is Julia. She's fantastic. And she said, I want you to try this. And then if you like it, it'd be great if you could talk about it on the show. So I said, you sold me. I'm going to try it. So I loaded it up. What it does is it really goes through your entire Mac system. And it cleans out the non-essential files, the cruft that builds up over time, and we all have that. So, for example, when I ran it on my laptop, it cleaned out 20 gigabytes worth of cruft, and my laptop actually runs better. You know, so it didn't delete anything that I needed, and you have control over this. You know what it's doing, and you can, if you don't want it to do this or that, you can completely control it. The interface is fantastic. I just love the interface. So I tried it, and I just absolutely loved it. And then they give you all sorts of other goodies where you can tell, you know, what your battery situation is, you know, how well it's holding a charge. You know, what your RAM situation is. It just gives you all sorts of just on-the-fly diagnostics. And again, with a great UI. Let me just read you this checklist of things that it does. One-click smart cleanup to do all the cleaning automatically. Now, you can do it non-automatically, but I've discovered that the smart cleanup is the way to go, at least for me. An uninstaller to remove apps completely, leaving no parts behind. Large and old files finder, so it finds them, these big old files or these, you know, big old zip files or whatever you had, to dig out the heavy files that you've forgotten about. And on that, it doesn't automatically delete them. On that, what it does is it gives you this list of the stuff that you haven't looked at for a long time that is really big, you know, 300 megabytes, 500 megabytes, that kind of thing. And then gives you the option, you know, just by clicking a box, do you want to delete it? Do you want to delete it? Do you want to delete it? So it goes through your whole system and finds the big stuff you haven't been using and says, hey, do you still need this? And that is the easiest way I've ever seen to find this stuff that I just got stashed away in the closet, so to speak. A set of maintenance tools to make your system work smooth again. And then for photos for OS X, it'll clean out your Faces cache. It will clean out the local Photos app cache, again for photos for OS X. It'll clean out the iCloud local copies if you want it to. It'll replace RAWs with JPEGs if you want it to. You know, again, these are all options. And it still supports the iPhoto library cleaning too. And I was surprised at how much it cleaned up my Photos for OS X app. And so again, if you're using Photos for OS X or if you're still using iPhoto, this application does a great job of cleaning it. It cleans up your iTunes, it cleans up your mail. You know, you can get rid of all those big attachments that are just taking up room on your hard drive. It's pretty cool. It's really a nice app, and like I said, I haven't been this jazzed about a piece of software for a bit, a piece of utility software especially. So I went back to Julia and said, I love this thing. Thank you so much for contacting me about it. What can we do? What can we do for our listeners? So we have a URL that will save you 30% for 1 week, you know, so the regular price is $39.95. With this URL, just automatically is discounted to $27.97. And the URL is http://, you know, same thing. MacPaw.com/TDS, as in the digital story. MacPaw.com/TDS. And you'll get this app for $27.97. Part of the reason why I'm interested in this is you can start out the new year, as we're all thinking about right now, with a clean Mac, with those extra gigabytes. So, you know, that you can go, wow, I've got this extra space I've reclaimed, and, you know, that cruft is left behind. And starting out the year, knowing what you're going to do with your photo management, cleaning up your Mac, you know, just getting, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, just getting your house in order. This app, if you're a Mac user, is a fantastic aid for helping you get your house in order. It's called Clean My Mac 3. Clean My Mac's all one word. It's by the folks at MacPaw. And if you want that discount, you want to save 30%, just go to MacPaw.com/TDS for 1 week. Discount's good for 1 week. The Street Photography Book Winners. That's right, we did another drawing, and we have two new winners. They're going to receive Street Photography by Gordon Lewis, published by Rocky Nook. I interviewed Gordon a while back. He's a great guy. He's a terrific photographer, and his book is wonderful. And if you're interested in street photography, not only the technique, but the ethics and the common sense and the way to conduct yourself, this book is fantastic. Again, it's in the Rocky Nook catalog. I always have a link in the show notes to everything that I talk about, including the books that we're giving away. It'll take you right to their catalog page. Our two winners are, this week, Evelyn Rude and Dennis Moon. Evelyn Rude and Dennis Moon. So how are they randomly selected? Well, they have signed up for the Nimbelocity Report, our every other week newsletter. By the way, the next edition is coming out on Wednesday, December 2nd, and there will be scoops in there. There'll be discounts. There'll be all sorts of goodies. And all you have to do is sign up for it. Of course, there's a link in the show notes to do that. Or you can just go to member info on the Digital Story and sign up for it. Or you can go to the contact page at the Nimble Photographer and sign up. So congratulations to Evelyn and congratulations to Dennis. We're going to do it again. So this week we're going to give away two copies of How Do I Do That in Lightroom by Scott Kelby. Again, published by Rocky Nook. I have two copies of it. And the winners will be randomly selected from the subscriber list for the Nimbleosity Report. And we'll do that on Monday, December 7th. So if you're not already a subscriber, just sign up before Monday, December 7th, and you'll be eligible to win How Do I Do That in Lightroom. And if you're already a subscriber, thank you so much, and you're already eligible. That's as easy as it gets. You only have to sign up once, and then, you know, you're always in the drawing. So anyway, that's a lot of fun. And yes, the newsletter comes out Wednesday, and I hope you enjoy it. Member quote of the week. And this is actually member quotes of the week. So you may remember, I asked the question in last week's show, how do you feel about bringing a camera to the dinner table during holiday festivities? And I said, if you have an opinion, you know, post it on our Facebook page. I always post the podcast on the Facebook page, and so you can comment on the podcast. I have a yay and a nay, and I'm going to read you both now. These are from our fellow photographers, our virtual camera club mates. So Terry Donner writes, cameras at dinner tables, okay. Run it by your people first. I have decades of photos from the dinner table. It's a nice piece of family history. So that's what Terry thinks. And then Fred counters, I'm against cameras at dinner. You'll be concentrating on getting a good shot instead of participating with your family. The other people will be self-conscious because they'll never know when you're going to take a picture. Wait until everyone is relaxing and the camera won't be intrusive. And this is especially true if you use a flash. So Fred's against, Terry's okay with it. I'll leave it up to you in terms of what you do at the next holiday gathering. And that is the member quotes of the week. I don't know if you've heard about the new paper by Red River Paper called Palo Duro Soft Gloss Rag. It's available now. It's made from 100% cotton rag and featuring a lightly textured soft gloss surface. Palo Duro Soft Gloss Rag surpasses the saturation, tonal range, and depth of classic darkroom printing. Now, they want to remind you that if you do order this paper, it's very heavy and thick, and you shouldn't use it if your printer only feeds paper from the front, because it's hard to wrap around the rollers. If you have a manual feed, like Epson printers do a lot of times, where it comes in from the back, that for sure will work, and it should work in most top-feeding Epsons too. So anyway, this new paper is really nice. I'm going to order some and try it out. I want to try it out for black and white myself, but it's called Palo Duro Soft Gloss Rag 100% Cotton from Red River Paper. They have a fantastic Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper, and they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Found in the bottom of a bag. I still like this bit. I don't know. I just always visualize, you know, those things that you find in the bottom of your camera bag or your backpack when you take everything else out. And sometimes they're really cool. And you go, where was that? Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad I found it. I want to remind you about something I talked about last week, which is the wood prints from inkdot.com. And they're 5/8 of an inch thick and printed on Baltic birch. They're archival, moisture, and UV resistant. Now, they take a couple days for printing, And of course, there's the normal ship time. And I bring this up now because I just really think, based on the reaction I've gotten from people that have seen mine, I did one of two zebras, the mom and daughter zebra shot, and have received super positive reactions from that image on the wood. I bring it up now because you don't want to cut it too close to gift-giving season if you want to do one of these. And I do think these are fantastic gifts. My 12 by 12 zebra costs $58. And, you know, it's a nice size. It goes a lot of different places. And especially, you know, being on wood, it looks really nice. I have it in the kitchen right now at the studio, and it looks really good. So anyway, just give yourself enough time so that you can get this thing. They're available from inkdot.com, inkdot.com. And if you do order one, let them know that you heard about it here. I'm sure they would appreciate that. And then I want to mention that registration is open for the 2016 Street Photography Workshop in San Francisco. We've got a great group of people already. We still have a few seats open, and this is just going to be an amazing event. 3 days in April 2016 at our wonderful Cartwright Hotel right off Union Square in San Francisco. Two facilitators, both me and Mike Boyne, and you can find out more about it at our workshop page, thedigitalstory.com/workshops. Don't dilly-dally if you want to come. Reserve your seat and make sure you join us in April of 2016. All right, well, that is going to do it for today. Oh my gosh. Those five cameras, I tell you, each one of them just totally knocks my socks off. I am so impressed with some of the cameras that are coming out these days. They are so exciting and just so much fun to shoot with. And, you know, people go, it's not the gear, it's the photo and all that. Yeah, I know. It's true. But I tell you, having a great camera, a camera that, you know, really excites me, makes me want to go shoot more, makes me want to go take pictures. And I think that's part of the fun that I'm having right now. So anyway, lots more in the pipeline. Make sure you come back next week. I'll tell you, every show this month is killer. So join me. See you next time. Go out, take some shots. Bye-bye now.